Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
April 20th, 2018. This is the Real KNC. Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
Banana Land.
I'm a sucker for a fake banana.
This is the way Chris Curtis' favorite.
Have a banana.
End of the week here on Kirk and Callahan. Once again, the top journalists in the city are Kirk Minahan.
I guess that's true.
And his sidekick, Chris Curtis.
Honest to God, I leave here and people are like, you get to produce Dennis and Callahan.
Unbelievable job of you guys digging up what is truly despicable audio.
Despicable.
Go back earlier into the week if you can.
All right, so on Sunday, there is this story by Kevin Cullen about 5 years later.
5 years after the marathon bombing, the anniversary was coming up.
Correct. And I read through it. I gave it sort of a glance. I see the response to this column Sunday, and I read through it, and it gave me an uneasy feeling reading his story on Sunday, remembering the bombings 5 years ago. He says it felt like it was a million miles away, but this and that, and he kept injecting himself. And
listen to this and tell me if it strikes you at all, is anything close to reality?
Meet us and have a drink, and he didn't want to leave, and he told me he couldn't get the blood out of his fingernails, and that's what he was doing. He was at his house trying to scrub his
fingernails. Listen to his voice. He's, you know what he is, honestly, in my opinion, he's psychotic.
So that was the jumping off point, was this story Sunday, him gratuitously retweeting everybody, his prior story about the church lady that seemed to make no sense, and on top of that, him sort of kicking us when we were down, led to a perfect storm of Kirk and I really digging in this week into who he was and what he was doing. And not to mention, you had the Boston Globe sources for Kirk and Jerry that really kicked this off by telling them that, in fact, Kevin Cullen's five-year remembrance is wrong. So that really kicked our investigation into high gear.
This is not a stunt.
Yeah, now we talked about it Tuesday a little bit. We had the audio from the Bob Bryan podcast.
I didn't want to see the movie. I remember talking to a number of firefighters I know and a couple of EMT guys, Brian Promodaro, who's one of the lieutenants on the Boston EMS, and these are people who have been treated for post-traumatic stress for stuff that they went through, and they had no interest in seeing the movie. And I must say that like a month after the bombing, I was completely screwed up myself. I just was not taking care of myself, was not eating right, was drinking too much, was not getting proper exercise and sleep, and I think it was almost like secondhand PTS. I just was dealing with so many people who have been traumatized. It really affected me. I remember like crying at night and stuff after talking to people, and I just
it's so insulting to people who have actually who've gone through it. It's, you're trying to make yourself a character in a play that you're not cast in. You're not part of this play. Okay, sorry, Kevin. You don't get to be in everything. Those people who went through it can really go through it. You don't get to do that.
You know, Albert from Rhode Island had called in, actually, with what Jerry called a semi-good call, I think, afterwards.
Every year, as Marathon Monday approaches, and I happen to tune into my social media, I seem to see a new hashtag, a new slogan, a new mantra, something to try to martyr the city in for the Boston, for the New Englanders to attract attention to something that was larger and bigger than them and really wasn't about a city. So now the new hashtag is One Boston of a Day.
I saw that this weekend, yes. Yeah.
Which Patriots Day was bad enough. The fact that Mark Wahlberg, the biggest Boston fraud
that was
of
a,
all,
that was a disaster. I agree, that was a disgrace.
Pathetic.
I agree.
I think a very small population of people were affected.
You know, Monday afternoon, we got a text with a screen grab from a listener from Kirk saying that you got to check out this Bob Bryan podcast. Mm-hmm. And that really was, okay,
the secondhand PTSD.
Secondhand PTSD. And then
this was from last year.
Secondhand PTS.
Mutton Maloney was on that day, so we were all having secondhand PTSD. So
right. Oh my God.
It was a tough day for everybody.
Nobody
right
had
here
a radio on.
It's our guy, Pierre Maguire, NBC Sports Network.
It's our last show. Gotta check in with a man, no?
He's been a big fixture of our show last couple of years.
Tito!
The layers of the onion began being unpeeled by Kirk Minahan and Chris Curtis.
Wednesday afternoon, I found a piece of sound from the BBC. It was Kevin Cullen verbalizing what he had initially inaccurately reported.
Right.
Here's Kevin Cullen talking to the BBC as a Boston Globe reporter telling that story.
I just got off the phone.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry. So this is April 16th, correct?
2013.
Just to give you some context, Here is Bill Richard talking about
Kevin Cullen talking about the bombing Kevin to Cullen, the BBC.
Yes, and Jane Richard. I apologize.
I just got off the phone not long ago with a young firefighter who I'm very concerned about. He's a young kid. He's a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. And he told me what he saw today was worse than anything he saw in a war zone. He carried a young girl whose brother was killed at the scene. I actually know the father. Just ran the race today. And when he finished the race, his young son left the sidewalk. He went out into Boylston Street and hugged his dad. And then he went back onto the sidewalk, and his father walked on to register his time, and the bomb exploded. The boy was killed. His mother was severely injured. And the daughter, the girl, my friend, the firefighter, Sean, picked her up. And he carried her to an ambulance. And he said that when he put her down, he realized her leg was missing. And he went back to the scene, and he told me he crawled on his legs, his hands and his knees, trying to find her leg, and he couldn't find it.
I'm just going to, again, this is where it gets into from journalistic malfeasance to just, I would say, disgraceful. I'm just going to say disgrace. This is what I talked about before with Borges. None of that stuff, other than poor Jane Richard losing her leg, Kevin Cullen's good luck charm, losing her leg. Beg your pardon. None of those things, none of that stuff happened. His friend Sean, who he uses later, by the way, as well, and we'll get to that. His firefighter friend Sean was not the person who probably saved Jane Richard's life. That's Matt Patterson, correct?
That is Matt Patterson.
Matt Patterson, who I just spoke to, Chris did earlier as well.
That moment, we knew that Kevin Cullen was full of shit.
At a minimum, yeah, the days after the bombing, he had a bunch of facts wrong, including simple things about the marathon, and the word Kirk used a lot was cinematic. It was a lot of that going on.
Right. Thursday, it was made clear to me we got to get in touch with Matt Patterson, who was the hero who saved the life of Jane Richard on Marathon Monday, right, 2013. So I contact him. He's up. He picks up the phone immediately. These firefighters are, you know, always working, always up. So I talk to him off the air, and he says, yep, that was me. Don't know Sean. I carry Jane Richard. I knew all along her leg had been amputated. That's the first thing you would know. It was the worst thing he said to me. His exact quote was, it's everything you prepare for and what you pray you never have to see. And it was just so eloquently stated, and from a man who obviously had been there, was there.
He saw, he was an off-duty firefighter from Lynn who was at the marathon that day at the finish line. He saw it happen to Jane Richard. He climbed over. He carried her with a friend of his. It was not Sean. He doesn't know anybody named Sean. He's never spoken to Kevin Cullen in his life. This man, Matt Patterson, carried Jane Richard from picking her up. And by the way, and it's a pretty good giveaway, when he says that this firefighter friend didn't know until the end that she had lost her leg. He said, this guy I spoke to said, if you're in the rescue business, whether it's a firefighter or EMT, it's the first thing you would notice is blood gushing like crazy.
Right.
And there was so much shit obviously going on during that time. I can understand in a way, but it is amazing that some of this stuff didn't get back to these people who were directly involved that Kevin Cullen is describing erroneously at the time. You know what I mean? Like, this would have fallen through the cracks. Wouldn't somebody have said, check this out. This guy's saying you did this, or you weren't here, or somebody else did what you did.
But here's the thing, though. It would make, up until this point, I would totally agree with you. But after speaking to Sean and to Matt, it makes perfect sense. They are 180 degrees away from Kevin Cullen.
It wasn't
the first responders who ran toward the blast. And they were pulling those flags and pulling them down to get at the victims. And the flags were lying on Boylston Street at the finish line. And as I put it in my column today, those flags look like victims themselves.
If you don't care about getting credit, you don't give a shit if somebody else inaccurately gets it.
Well, it's one thing to not care, but to not even be alerted to
it. But right. But like, they didn't even, like, to them, it was out of sight, out of mind. They're living their life. Yep. They're moving forward. They're firemen. They did what they were expected to do.
Right.
And then you have this loser, Kevin Cullen, who's Forrest Gumping himself into all these moments and jumping in and trying to get as much glory. I mean, if you guys listening to this have a couple minutes, Saturday, Sunday, just looking to kill time, type in Kevin Cullen marathon bombings into YouTube. You're going to see 40 videos of him every day with MSNBC, with CNN, with Larry O'Donnell.
And he's colorful. They're obviously requesting him because they see another interview with him where he's making this, you know, he's painting this dramatic picture. And you're like, wow, we got to get this guy on.
Among the confirmed deaths is a young boy, 8 years old. And you've been finding out more about his family, Kevin. What have you found?
His name is Martin Richard. And as you said, he was 8 years old. And he was killed, and his sister lost her leg. Mm. And I know the firefighter who carried that girl to safety.
Oh, my.
And he represents the best of us. And whoever did this represents the worst of us.
Oof. There's got to be some psychological phrase for people who attach themselves and want to be part of, like, horrific events.
Yesterday, I found the 5-minute clip that we played today where he talks about this, the flags looking like strewn bodies. Kirk found this audio of this conference on terrorism coverage where Kevin Cullen randomly gets a call from Tommy Donahue.
He's Cullen. What are you going to do? You're Cullen.
I'll say this, Kirk.
And they'll call him Cullen.
You're good at this fiction stuff.
Cullen.
Yeah. You should work at the Globe. You really should.
I think maybe I will.
You should. Can we hear more of Cullen from
Let me hear. Is this the part we're talking about, Chris? All right, go ahead.
Bar or a coffee shop. It's Tommy Donahue. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to keep track of the chart.
Tommy Donahue.
Hold on.
That is a character.
This is in the middle
Tommy
of an interview.
Donahue.
No, it's in the middle of a panel. There are people there.
Right, a panel.
But he's so locked into the job.
He just works 24 hours a day.
I want to say to him, Kev, if I ever get to see him again, I'm going to say, Kev, can you walk away? Put it down for a day or two.
You got
to
get away.
Live life.
This morning, I wanted to really nail down the elements of the moments where Kevin Cullen is reporting on the bombing aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
There were images of heroism from this Sean O'Brien, and I wanted to speak with him to really get his perspective. Did he know Matt? Matt said he didn't know him. And he's used almost in every story written by Cullen throughout this process. So
yep.
I wanted to really ascertain what their relationship was. That was when I lost. I mean, you were next to me talking to him. I couldn't believe it. Honest to God, I mean, Kevin Cullen is he's pathological.
When you look at the tweets that he retweets, it's all, you made me cry. You hit me right in the heart. It's all this melodramatic.
I've covered war. I've covered terrorism.
BS. I mean, it's crap. It's garbage.
How would you characterize O'Brien on the phone?
Direct. And it was like he had never heard these before, which goes back to your point that nobody had alerted him to this. Every time he talked about what he did, it's like they have this training or they're just so selfless. The first thing they say is, I'm not talking about me, but and then he would say what he was doing and where he was. The only interaction he had, according to Sean, to me, was with Kevin Cullen when he visited the firehouse the night after the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
The second I hung up with him, I told Kirk, you got to talk to him. Kirk talked to him for about 10 minutes and then we were just sort of off to the races with him.
Right.
Here's Cullen talking to the BBC about his role, where he was at the bombing.
I was probably like a mile away from the scene, but I kind of heard it. And it was, I don't know, I guess when you hear something like that, the first one could have maybe been anything, but the second one kind of reminded me of 9/11.
The tentacles are now spreading elsewhere. Finally, it took 24 hours.
Right. Here's what I'd say about our show. Criticize it, hate it, love it. We never stop. We work 24 hours a day. On stories like this, other shows, including some other shows at the station, show up, do their show, go home, get their rating, don't care, repeat, do it again. We don't. You like us, you hate us, I don't care. We don't stop. We will never stop.
I think Kirk, at some level, would love to be an investigative journalist. In this case, he has been for this and the Borges situation, which it was a different relationship with our listeners with Borges because he's a sports guy and he had a kind of an embedded hatred already from a lot of the listening audience.
Hey, Kirk, how you doing?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Explain to me how this all happened.
Somebody tweeted Bron Borges' phone number. And I just picked it up, and for some reason, I just thought, hey, you know what? I'll text him and say I'm Don Yee. And he just went with it for some reason.
That was a huge day ratings-wise for us and a huge story that he got duped and, you know, not the first incident with him and everything else. But this matches that, maybe even surpasses it in terms of just the scope of it.
I would say the Ron Borges was a visceral reaction from the audience and the loyal people who follow our show and the teams in this town.
It sounds like if somebody, okay, listen, we're once again hearing that somebody posed as Don Yee, the agent for...
That was more of a dumb luck and people just sort of celebrating the demise of a guy they hated.
Yep.
What this was with Cullen, it's nuts and bolts, shattered glass, Stephen Glass type journalism from the show. I mean, it's we found out that he's a fraud. We sniffed it out. And then we attacked his work and dug through it, found the people that he was sourcing, confirmed that they were not accurately sourced, and went to air with it. I mean, it was old school.
Just, in my opinion, lying, lying, lying. Dealing with people like Sean O'Brien, who you never spoke to, who you said he never spoke to after the first day, but yet you continue using these interviews. Who did you speak to? Who didn't you speak to? It's unbelievable.
Secondhand PTSD.
Seeing Kirk, he is at his peak when this stuff is in the, when he smells
relentless blood.
I mean, he's just on top of it in 2 seconds.
That is a great line.
Well, we had two huge events on the show this week. Not just the expose, the false reporting, the reveal of Kevin Cullen. We had Jim the Wrestling Goon on for over 5 minutes on the Thursday show.
This was a spot and a half.
After the Bruno San Martino death.
We had Jim the Wrestling Goon on longer than we had Schefter.
Okay.
That's true.
You sat down and ate and talked to the great Bruno Sammartino?
Nice guy.
I was one of very, very few at the head table. Mm. I was sitting with him, mm-hmm. Doink the Clown, and Mick Foley. Okay?
Sure. No, of course.
Well, what is the joke? What are we laughing at?
Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing.
You?
There's nothing, there's nothing funny about Jim the Wrestling Goon, Doink the Clown, Bruno Sammartino having dinner together. There's nothing funny about that at all. At all. Well, I'm not laughing.
There's nothing to laugh about.
I'm not laughing. Jerry's laughing. I'm not laughing.
And, you know, Mutt would have had him on longer, but.
All right, last question, Adam. You say here he wants to play football. Around him, so that speaks to it. Sounds like a family issue. Because why would people not want him to play anymore? Besides being a family issue and spend time with his family.
We also had big Patriots news this week, sort of. And I'm assuming we crushed the Wednesday 8 o'clock hour because we had Schefter call in, as you mentioned,
right?
And then Wickersham on right afterwards.
You know what role does Alex play? I was told that before the Super Bowl, Robert Kraft had told people that, like, look, we've got to figure out a way to limit Alex. You know, yeah, he's a problem. And then he flew out to the Super Bowl on Robert Kraft's private plane. And so, again, there's just inconsistencies, and I don't know exactly how it resolves itself, and I'm not sure that it will.
Which, even though there wasn't, I guess, a ton of news, it was refuted somewhat quickly in the next 24 hours. That was, you know, anytime Patriots stuff is breaking with Brady, that's going to be big.
Catching passes from Tom Brady. That's kind of the top of the world. I mean, that is kind of the pinnacle.
And another huge addendum this week. I would just like to say 20 years in this business doesn't happen. I can't think of anybody else who's had 20 years in this building.
We should have the mayor do something.
But Mistress Carey, congratulations on 20
well
years.
Well done, Mistress.
Mayor Walsh put together a proclamation that he asked us to read, and I'm going to do the honors, or at least part of it, try to make through without choking up here. And it goes as follows. Whereas Mistress Carey has been a strong female voice on WAAF, the city's longest-running rock radio station, and whereas she is a 2-time recipient of the Army Commander's Award for Public Service and a recipient of the Order of St. Maurice, therefore, I, Ron Valeri, as requested by Martin J. Walsh, Mayor of the City of Boston, do hereby proclaim April 17th, 2018, to be Mistress Carey Day in the City of Boston.
Oh, my God!
What did she expect at the end there?
Congratulations.
Reading that whole thing. She was that surprised?
One of these days, Jerry will get there and we'll do something big for him, but...
whatever.
You can run with Jerry. You say congrats when you see him at the 5K in Andover this weekend. Support the troops.
Oh, that's true. He's getting out there.
Shut up and let's hear from Kane.
All right. So next week, what are we looking at? We got a Mutt Monday, Friday.
We got a bookend Mutt.
It's a different level now.
And I think we'll have a return of a Drellick for 2 hours next week. Maybe Tuesday.
All right. I idolized him as a 19-year-old in Binghamton, New York. I'm not going to say
idolized Scott Lauber.
He was my hero.
All right. Tune in late tonight. You get the Laird Man Friday.
Ooh,
late
baby.
Night baseball, West Coast baseball. I'll be in the booth. 3:09 left. Carolina drove down, set up a 48-yard field goal. They iced the kicker, but Graham Gano comes through. He wins it 33-30 Panthers as the Patriots fall to 2-2.
Ouch.
And Sunday, so double shot of Red Sox this weekend, and maybe a celebratory Sunday skate. Kind of joked the last few weeks that they have no shot. I think one of our frequent callers, Freddie in New Hampshire, kept pounding that on his last couple calls. They can get the top seed. I didn't buy it.
Wow. All right, before we wrap this up, just want to say a big thank you to Bill at Milton's. The whole show went a nice little field trip this week. We got some awesome clothes. I'm wearing a full Milton's outfit right now. It is the store for men.
In all honesty, great work. Congratulations. Terrific reporting by you and Kirk.
Appreciate the feedback, Home Slice.
Thanks, buddy.
Mostly Kirk, but...
Yeah, good job, Kirk.
Good weekend.
It is currently Jesus, Mary. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Good weekend.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.